God Brother Kalakanta Prabhu was kind enough to invite me here. I've been staying in Alachua for some days. And I've been here a few times over the years. I guess first time in 1971, just about when the Krishna Lunch program started. I saw that sign. It started 1971. And that year also was just about the same time, I think, this Jayarada Madhava, Srila Prabhupada first chanted Jayarada Madhava way back in 1971. And melody was also being established at that time. Devotees were learning how to chant this mantra. So these things all go back many years. We have our curriculum today. I think we're on verse 23. Is that it? Yes. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 3, text 23, and verse and very long purport. The highlights. Prabhupada, how do you pick highlights of Prabhupada's purports? But we'll do that. We'll just go through it. And today, everyone, or most of you probably know, today is the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's there on the altar, second from the right, as you're looking in. He's the father of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada credits him for the start of the Krishna consciousness movement in the West. His desire was so strong to spread Krishna consciousness in the West. So it's a very special day today. And maybe we'll mention a little something about him as we go through. Can we chant the verse together? How do you? I'll just say it in Sanskrit. Here's. Okay. If we turn off the screen, okay. Someone want to chant the verse? Someone in on here? Vasudeva Sadbitam. Yariyate tatra pumana pavrita. Sate tasmin bhagavan vasudevo. Yaduksha jome namasa vidiyate. Sadvam visudam vasudeva sadvitam. Satve chatasmin bhagavan vasudevo. Yaroksha jojo me namasa vidiyate. So I'll go to the translation. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, is revealed without any covering. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity is constitutionally pure, asango yayam purushaha. In the Vedic literature, it is said that the soul is always pure and uncontaminated by material attachment. The identification of the body with the soul is due to misunderstanding. Srila Prabhupada says, over the years, one of the things that was very sweet with Srila Prabhupada was his communication with all of his disciples. Prabhupada always said, if you have a question, it's my duty to answer it. And of course, as everything became bigger and bigger, as it did in the 70s, it became more and more difficult to have that. We wanted that very personal association with the spiritual master. But he always communicated in the sweetest way through his letters. And devotees back at that time, you know, back in the 70s, none of these things were here, of course, emails, internet, all that. And everything was done. Letter would be handwritten or typewritten if someone had that facility to Srila Prabhupada. And he would respond. And he would always, he had a way of doing things, just like if you sent a letter but you didn't put a date, he would write, I have received your undated letter. And if you had the date, he would say, I received your letter of such and such date and such and such date. And then if there were questions, he would answer each and every question in there. And he had a wonderful way of dealing. He would answer always just in the progression of how the questions, if you asked six questions, he answered them according to how you wrote them. He didn't like pick what he thought maybe was the most important question you asked and answered that first. But he did it in such a way that however you asked, he would respond. They were always typewritten, and sometimes it could take a month for a letter to get to him because he was traveling all around the world, and mails were not very, you know, efficient, especially if it was going or coming through India. But he would answer, and the questions could be about anything. They asked Prabhupada anything. He was the source of everything. Grahasthas were writing him. He was a sannyasi. And early on, he would say, I'm a sannyasi. You should not even be asking these questions to a sannyasi. He said, but it's my duty to answer. And who else? There was no one else to ask these questions to, so he would answer the question. And one here, as we're saying here, this Krishna consciousness, this is our natural state. And Prabhupada would say, you're always with Krishna. And there's never a time, it's not to become Krishna conscious, as Prabhupada would say, how long does it take? You know, this was one of the questions. How long does it take to become Krishna conscious? Who knows, now in your study? 1 second. See, she knows. She's a cheater. She's been here since the beginning. She grew up. Look at her playing the mridanga better than everyone. But yes, it takes a second because Krishna's right there. He's always with us. Krishna's everywhere. So Prabhupada said, you're always with Krishna, but you forget. That's Maya. That's what Maya is. Maya is forgetfulness of Krishna. And she's very good at her job, making us forget. And we'll see, the background does, have you been reading this at all? So the background of all of this, it involves Daksha. And Daksha was the father of Sati. And Sati married Lord Shiva. Everyone knows who Lord Shiva is. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity. He's very special. The comparison Prabhupada always makes Lord Shiva, he's like yogurt is to milk. Milk and yogurt are the same, but yogurt's a little different. So Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. So he's always surrounded by people in the mode of ignorance. But he's also always meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna. And he's always in Krishna consciousness. But the background of what's happening here is Daksha became very upset. Now, he's his father-in-law in that table. So there was a time when Daksha came before Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was in meditation. And that's what all this is discussed in this chapter coming up to this point. And Lord Shiva didn't offer him respects as an elder, as his father-in-law. In Vedic culture, everything, you know, is about etiquette and respect. It's always there. But Lord Shiva is in meditation all the time, so he's always, Prabhupada describes, and it's described in the purports and in the verses, that when one's meditating on Krishna, of course, he's always offering respect to all other living entities because he's offering respect in the heart. Krishna seated in the heart. So this is really when we offer obeisances to one another, we're offering obeisances to recognizing Krishna's there in the heart of every living entity. And so in that way, even Prabhupada describes in one purport, the spiritual master, he even offers respects to his disciples because he sees Krishna in the heart. So Lord Shiva was in meditation, so he didn't offer any respects. He was just there. So Daksha became offended and he said so many things, you know, about Lord Shiva. He was very upset. So then there was a big celebration that was going to be going on, a big party. And Sati, who was Daksha's daughter, she wanted to go. And Hare Krishna, Prabhu. And Prabhupada speaks so nicely in this way, how this was the nature, he says, of family, of women, a whole description of how Sati wanted to get dressed up. He said, women, at this time at least, in Vedic society, the women, they liked to dress up. They all had all their bangles, had all their jewelry. And of course, when you go to the thing, all the women get together and they exchange ideas. Exchange what's going on in their lives, and also she wanted to go. And of course, Lord Shiva knows everything that's going on, and he understands that not even a place was going to be there for him to sit, for her to go. Her father was—he was upset. You know, he couldn't let go because he was a very wealthy, important personality in the scheme of things. So, because of that wealth, he was very puffed up. And he couldn't even understand Lord Shiva's position. So, this nature is always there. Everyone, just like, and according to culture, all these things, they change. And like Sati's idea was, you know, put on a beautiful sari, put on beautiful earrings, jewelry, so many things were there. So this is how one displays, you know, what they like, what they enjoy at this time. The men would all go around and do, as they do, their manly things, discuss their kshatriya topics, whatever it is. But even when we come into today's culture, everyone has something. Somehow or other, we have to show that our personality, our opulences. This is a sign that we like to do, our pride. Even here, of course, things are very different, especially we come to Florida. In America, in general, it's a very laid-back kind of country. Everyone dresses, very informal. Go to Europe, it's very, very different. You know, I lived in England for the last 10 years, and, you know, you just walk around in the streets and dressed up nicely. The women, they're always very stylish. But here it seems much more relaxed, even at our temple. We go to the temple in Alachua. The other day it was Radhastami. If you're in Vrindavan, Radhastami, the women are dressed up in their best things they can find. All the jewelry they have they'll put on for Krishna, because they're going before Krishna. They're going before Radharani. This is one of the things Srila Prabhupada said in a letter. Since the very beginning, when we were coming to Krishna consciousness, we were giving up all these things. This was our opulence, the opulence of renunciation. This is another way we show opulence. We're renounced. We're not interested in these material things. So in 1971, when this Krishna lunch was started, when so many people were coming, I came in 1971, we wanted to renounce all these material things because we had no interest. But that's also a form of opulence that we have. We want to show we don't care about these things. So in India, in Vrindavan, that culture is still there. So the women, they get very dressed up. So coming to ISKCON, we had a tendency, we wanted to downplay anything that had to do with what we considered material opulence. And one of the questions, one of the ladies wrote to Srila Prabhupada, and she was asking about dress, getting dressed. And Prabhupada said, you should dress very nicely for Krishna. Very beautifully, he said. The lady should dress very beautifully for Krishna. He said, Krishna doesn't like ugly gopis. These were Prabhupada's words, that Krishna doesn't like ugly gopis. So we're trying to attract Krishna. That's our business. In Krishna consciousness, this is the purpose of coming to this. It's called Vasudev, pure goodness. We want to attract Krishna. So in so many ways, of course, through devotional service, our devotion is how we attract. But it's also to do things for his pleasure. That's, of course, that's the love. When love is there, and Prabhupada would say, when you love someone, you're always thinking, what can I do for them? How can I please them? What can I cook for them? So it's not about me. There's one line, I heard it from Sachinandana Swami. I don't know the origin of it, but he speaks about humility. And he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. In other words, that kind of false humility. It's not about thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, less often. So that's Krishna consciousness. See, Krishna consciousness, we're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking, what does Krishna like? So this was very nice because I was with Srila Prabhupada for a long time. This was always what he was doing, how to satisfy Krishna, how to give Krishna to everyone. Of course, if you see him there, even as a sannyasi, he was renunciate, he was always dressed very nicely, because he understood for preaching and preaching in the West, this was also helpful. Sannyasi in Vrindavan, you could see a little different style. But Prabhupada's thing was how to attract people to Krishna, to Krishna consciousness. So even one of the things, and we see this more and more now, as you travel in our world of Krishna consciousness, it's like in Eastern Europe and Russia and Poland, when they do their Harinam, this is what they have in the front of the Harinam party. There'll be so many men, so many women, and all the women are dressed very beautifully, right? They're all chanting Hare Krishna. But there's an attraction. There's an attraction there to attract Krishna. But when we were coming, we wanted to renounce all of these things. But then, of course, the movement was progressing. M72, 73, 74, 75. I was with Prabhupada all of those years, the end of 72, all of 73, 1974, 1975. And at that time, everyone was wearing dhoti and kurta, and all the ladies were wearing saris, whatever, pretty much, except on book distribution, they would go out sometimes in street clothes. But although the devotees, we were becoming renounced, we were practicing our renunciation, there was still these desires. They were there. They're there in all living entities. We have desires. And as it was at that time, and it actually came almost through Japan and devotees that were in Japan. So we're wearing dhoti and kurta. But there was one thing you could do, and just like when I come here, can be very, very renounced, but you'll see somebody has a $700 bicycle, to ride back and forth to the university. Oh, what is that? That's a lot of, I bought a car for $1,000, to come back and forth to here. But, so we have these things, we can be renounced on so many levels, but these little things, they can creep in, So what crept in within ISKCON to some of the men, the ladies, jewelry is nice, but for the men, what could we do? It was watches. There was this thing we had for watches back then. And this was a time when the digital age was coming in. But one of the big, big names in watches at that time was a Seiko watch. They were like really, really big. So there was some sannyasis and number of devotees in Japan, and people, as they traveled to India, they would go through Japan. And so the men became really attracted to watches, you know. So you could have your dhoti and kurta, but you would have this, like, really sharp watch, you know. So at this time, now this was 75, and then there were those really, really, if you were really fortunate, or if you had a lot of money, you could even, you wanted the ultimate watch, and that was a Rolex watch. So I was with Prabhupada during these years as his servant. So I, of course, didn't have any income or anything. But myself and another devotee in Prabhupada's party, and he was a sannyasi, we just really wanted a Rolex watch. We just wanted one, you know, a Rolex watch. And we thought somehow or other, because we were with Srila Prabhupada, that it was actually possible, because people were always giving things to Srila Prabhupada, you know, his disciples. And sometimes they would give Prabhupada watches from the very beginning. They would give a watch and Prabhupada would give his watch. Or so we thought, somehow, you know, we're going to make this manifest. There were times when Prabhupada would wear two watches. Yeah, so somebody would give him a watch, and he would have them side by side. There's a picture with Prabhupada sitting, and you see two watches. And devotees are always, why did Prabhupada have two watches on? They think, well, maybe because he's traveling, so he keeps one, you know, Vrindavan time and one on, like, New York time or something like that. You know. But, and, I mean, sometimes he would do just to see which watch kept the most accurate time, because he liked to have, you know, accurate time. Prabhupada wore a watch. He was very prompt, schedule very regular. He was once, at the very beginning of this digital age, his secretary, in passing through Switzerland, got Prabhupada one of the very first digital watches. And the digital watches was owned by a Swiss company. It wasn't, Japan bought it out and the Swiss gave up that right, you know. But anyway, he bought Prabhupada this digital watch, and it was very expensive for, you know, at that time. This was 1973. So Prabhupada had his watch, you know, regular one with hands and, you know, little second hand that went around. And his secretary presented him, Prabhupada, I have this watch. You know, this watch, it just had the numbers. It was the beginning of LED, I don't know, whatever. It's, you know, lights. It had little lights in there. So Prabhupada put it on, but it was just blank. It was black, the screen. And Prabhupada's looking, and it was Shama Sundari. So we have to press this button, and then the light, it would display. You know, it was a battery. And so press the button, and it would display. So Prabhupada pressed the button, you know, and it said, you know, 9:15 or whatever it was. And then Prabhupada said, so now it takes two hands to tell time. So he didn't care for that watch at all. He didn't. And, but we were interested. And sometimes devotees, they would come up to myself as Prabhupada's servant, and they would say, does Prabhupada need anything? So I'd say, yes, a watch. And I'd say, he really likes Rolex watches, which was complete nonsense, you know. And it never worked, you know. No one ever, because they were costing thousands of dollars, you know. So then one day, Prabhupada's traveling. We went through Australia. And then he wound up in Fiji. And Fiji, now there's a very big temple there, Krishna Kaliya Temple in Fiji. Prabhupada said that's where Kaliya went, right? At the end, he went to Fiji. There's lots of Kaliya. So that person, first person who started there, Indian man, his name is also Vasudev. So that all pertains to this verse, Vasudev. So do we have a curriculum? We're okay now. So so this, he came, picked us up at the airport, and this was before there's any temple, but he wants to do something. So, and we actually arrived on an ekadasi. And we arrived 2 o'clock in the morning. Prabhupada, you know, traveled any time. Yeah? We'd take this flight from Australia to Fiji. We left in the evening. We arrived 2 o'clock in the morning. It's ekadasi there, and they had made this big feast. It wasn't an ekadasi feast. And of course, we were all hungry, his servants. And Prabhupada said, "That's all right." He said, "Sit down, take prasadam." So 2 o'clock in the morning, after not eating for hours, it's ekadasi, and we're eating this big feast. And then 4 hours later, Prabhupada's ready for his morning walk, and we just wanted to sleep, you know, but we all have to get up and go on the morning walk, because Prabhupada's, he had his watch, and it said 6 o'clock in the morning, it was time to go on the morning walk. So then, that day, the man takes us to this, his shop. Him and his brothers, they have all these businesses in India, or in Fiji. So we go into this shop. So what kind of a store is it? It's a jewelry store. Sati, she just wanted to wear her jewelry and go to this thing. So we walk into this jewelry store. And this is, you know, the way, part in Vedic culture, they always want to bring the sadhu and get their blessings, bless my store, give them an offering like that, and then everything moves along. So, we're in there, and Prabhupada's standing on the glass counters all around, and Prabhupada's just standing right by this counter. So this Vasudeva goes on the other side, he goes inside, and he said, "I would like to give you something." So myself and Paramahamsa, we're off in the corner, just standing and watching. And Prabhupada's standing right at a watch, you know, the watch counter. And the man says, I want to give you something, of course. And he said, "I'd like to give you, you know, one of these watches." Of course, they were all, whole counter was filled with Rolex watches, you know, gold ones with diamonds, and, you know, silver and gold ones and silver ones, and this, you know, scuba watches, and Paramahamsa and I are just like, our eyes are like, you know, that big, and we're just looking, and we're thinking, here it is, you know. And Prabhupada goes, no, he said, "I have a watch." And we're like, "Oh, no." And the, of course, you know, this doesn't end there. Things never end like that in Indian time. So the man again says, "Please, Prabhupada, let me give you a watch. You know, take any, whatever you want, you just take it." And again, Prabhupada says, no, "I have a watch." So three times, that's India time. Everything at least three times. You gotta try three times, then you're finished. So the third time, and Paramahamsa and I were chanting very sincerely, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, take the watch. Prabhupada wouldn't take it. He said, "I have a watch." Prabhupada had no, see, this is Krishna consciousness. If it was us, we would have had watches up and down our arms. However many he would have given, we could have taken. You know, this is practicing Krishna consciousness and full Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had Krishna. All he wanted was Krishna, and give Krishna to everyone. He had no need for anything. But we were very hopeful at that time. But we didn't get our Rolex watches at that time. But Srila Prabhupada, he, of course, spent time there. Imagine all the places Prabhupada went. He went to Fiji. And in Fiji, there's beautiful, gorgeous temple there. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he went there and expanded it further, and still expansion is going on. So this is how this happens. Huh? When a pure personality, we say today is appearance day of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yeah? The year Prabhupada was born, who knows what year Prabhupada was born? 1896, everyone knows what year. So at that year, Bhakti Vinod Thakur had one book, Life and Teachings, Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. So that book appeared in the West, in Canada, in the university, I guess in Montreal it was. in McGill University in 1896, his book, Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. So at that same time. So then we go ahead, it's 1975. Now Prabhupada's in Mayapur, and this was the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Not just his desire, it was his prediction that people from all over the world would come together in Mayapur chanting Hare Krishna. So now 1975, Srila Prabhupada is in Mayapur, and now the first building, his ISKCON building in Mayapur, it was called the Lotus Building. It's constructed, very beautiful building. And it didn't look like anything else in Mayapur. Didn't look like your typical, like a Gaudiya Math style temple, which was everywhere. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples had established. But it was an international guest house. And this was always what Srila Prabhupada wanted, because his society was international. Wasn't an American society, wasn't an Indian society. It was the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the design of even that structure was very unique at that time. And it was called International Guest House. And Prabhupada had his rooms in there as well. And as soon as he got there, he went up into his rooms. Now this was the biggest festival ever in ISKCON going on at that time. It was Gaur Purnima, the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in Mayapur. And there were 500 devotees, ISKCON devotees, from all over the world, all over in the West, Europe, America, South America, we'd come together. And this, of course, was the success of Srila Prabhupada. So now Prabhupada goes up into his room, and he's there with half a dozen disciples. Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhavananda was there. I was there. A few others were there. And Jayapataka, as a disciple would do, and Jayapataka, he was always did when Prabhupada would come, he would always say prayers and glorify his spiritual master. And he said something, Prabhupada, what you have done, this beautiful place in Mayapur, we've established here in Mayapur. And Prabhupada said, I had an idea. He was talking about the building. He said, but Krishna has manifested like that. And again, Jayapataka said, Prabhupada, it's just by your mercy that this is going on and everyone is here. And Prabhupada said, it's not my mercy. He said, it's the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that in the future, people from all over, they would be here and they would be chanting. He said, and he made that prediction. He said, and now, of course, it's come true. He said, someone would bring everyone to Mayapur. And then Prabhupada said something that you'll never see. In any of his lectures, any of his writings, any of his discussions, he said, that person I may be. So he said that person I am, but he said, that person I may be. And then he said, is all the mercy, he said of Prabhupada, meaning his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he just looked at Jayapataka. He said, so everyone is situated nicely? He just changed the subject. This was how Srila Prabhupada did things. He wasn't going to allow anyone to continue with that conversation of how wonderful he was, how he was a person who spread Krishna consciousness all around the world. Now this was 10 years, practically 10 years to the day from when he arrived in America, that now there were temples all over the world. And Prabhupada, in 2 months before arriving there, he traveled around the world. And pretty much, he started out in Juhu, and he traveled east. So he went to Japan, he went to Hawaii, then he went to Los Angeles, then he went to Mexico City, in Mexico, then he went to Caracas, Venezuela, then he went to, Miami. Prabhupada said Miami. And then he went to Atlanta. And everywhere he was going, he was seeing Lord Chaitanya You have on, you know, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda singing and dancing. And everywhere he went, Prabhupada was just going into various degrees of ecstasy, seeing how this Krishna consciousness movement has been spread all over the world. In Venezuela, he looked at the deities and he said, Lord Chaitanya has traveled very far to be here with you. See, this is a person. Huh? Lord Chaitanya is a person. Srila Prabhupada's a person. Everything is person. This is what Prabhupada's teaching us. Everywhere, personality. And his business was always to help us understand Krishna's a person, and he's right here. He's right in your heart. He's right here. He's everywhere. And he's the most lovable object, most lovable person. And now he was in Mayapur. And he went to Atlanta. Of course, we know he went into ecstasy on the Vyasasan in Atlanta. He gave his shortest lecture ever. It was about 1 minute long. And then he just, tears came out of his eyes and he stopped. But then he went to London. He also stopped his lecture in London because everywhere he was going, he was seeing this prediction was fulfilled and that he was given that service. Srila Prabhupada was giving that service. Who Srila Prabhupada is, he would never. Devotees, sometimes they would ask Prabhupada, you know, what is your, you know, swarup in the spiritual world, you know, because all figures Prabhupada's somebody, you know. But he would never. One devotee asked, Prajumna, he asked, Prabhupada said, if I told you, you would faint. That's all he said. Hari Sari asked him once, he said, you know, you have to find a, you know, it's not an easy question to ask Prabhupada, but if you can find a certain time when things are just very peaceful and calm and quiet. And then he said, if I told you, you wouldn't believe me. So these were the responses Prabhupada gave. But it was also for a reason. Yeah? Prabhupada always just wanted us to practice Krishna consciousness, to give Krishna consciousness to others. Just like what's going on here, huh? This program, very nice program, prasadam distribution. He said, as we give the mantra, we give prasadam. And the books. Somehow or other, Prabhupada said, someone will become attracted to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, not everyone is attracted to philosophy. And not everyone, he said, can digest philosophy. So, but everyone can digest prasadam. Right? You see that when you have your line, everyone's lining up. They can all take prasadam. You know, if you try to give them a book, you know, maybe they can't digest that. They don't want that. But prasadam, everyone likes prasadam. So all this came through Srila Prabhupada from the very beginning. But it comes down in through the disciplic succession. So it's the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gur Kishore Das Babaji. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Prabhupada said, he's just giving. He said in Mayapur so many times. He said, it's very simple. We don't change anything. We just present what I've heard from our spiritual master. He said, it doesn't require a big brain. He said, everything is already there. He said, we just hear and we repeat. So, you have some time for a few questions. He said, we have a little time today since everyone's fasting today. Yes, you're welcome. Any questions or comments? Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I have a question about everyone's eternal relationship with Krishna. Do we already have that already? Are we already fixed up in some rasa, particularly with Krishna?
Eternal relationship is there, yes.
I know, that's general, but I mean...
Kalakanta, do you have a response to that? You know, any specific?
It's covered.
It's
there. It's already there within each of us. Like a gopi or a cowherd boy or a cow or a blade of grass or something like that.
There's no ambition to get promoted from this one to that one. Everyone's very satisfied.
Everyone's so satisfied.
Yeah.
Yes. One's not better than the other. Because in every one of them, it's about service. It's satisfying Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. So everyone feels that happiness when connected with Krishna and making Krishna happy and trying to satisfy Krishna's desires. Yes.
Oftentimes, in stories where a devotee had something on their mind, they were trying to pursue something, and they were in proximity of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always very well aware of what was going on. Did your Rolex scheme?
I had a few schemes get busted by Prabhupada. I think by that time he was just like, you know. Well, that was, you know, I could say that's probably part of his humor in doing it, was he knew how eager we were to have it. So he was literally poking fun at us. You know, he could have easily just taken one for the sake, but it was everything he did was teaching you, you know, that detachment from material things. So I'm sure he knew what our desires were. Yes, he knew me. You know, when you're with anyone, you get to know him a bit, but Prabhupada's level of awareness was, you know, was frightening. And he would say, you know, it's not good to trick your spiritual master. There's stories I could tell you about how he knew what I was doing and how he did things to let me know.
Did you share one of them?
Yes. I'll make it brief. It can be a long story, but basically, after I had received Brahmin initiation, like in May of 1972, from Srila Prabhupada directly, put the thread over my head, spoke into my ear, everything. 3 months later, I was in New Vrindavan, and I was, New Vrindavan was a very austere place in West Virginia. It was a farm. There was no running water in this house. It was a farmhouse. There was a well outside with a bucket. It wasn't an electric well. And we would bathe outside at a creek, 4 o'clock in the morning, in the dark. So one morning, I bathed, and then I was a Brahmin, so I was, making the offering before Mangalartik, 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I had cooked everything the night before. I was the cook. So then I went to channel my thread, but it wasn't there. So the only thing I can think of is I washed it off while I was bathing one morning or something, you know, in the dark, and it just went down the creek. So, of course, I was completely just devastated that I had lost that, you know, my Brahminical standing because I'd lost my Brahmin thread. And I went to Kirtanananda, who was, you know, in charge there at the time, and made up a new thread and told me I was sincere not to worry about it, and I was still a Brahmin and could still offer to the deities. And then 3 months later, I was Prabhupada's servant. And then we were in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Temple, where Prabhupada said the Krishna consciousness movement, he said, started at Radha Damodar Temple. In his rooms, he said, that's where this Krishna consciousness movement began. He said, by the desire of Srila Rupa Goswami. He said, but these rooms, he said, are the very center of the spiritual world. So if you ever go to Vrindavan, you have to go there, because very center, he said, the hub of the wheel of the spiritual world, these rooms, Radha Damodar Temple. So there were two rooms, one on one side, one on the other, and a veranda, an open veranda, in the middle, right in the temple area, Radha Damodar Temple. So every Ekadasi, Prabhupada, or every other Ekadasi, Prabhupada would change his Brahmin thread. As his servant, this is one of the first things that I, you know, became aware of. So my job was to put a new Brahmin thread on the table, and Prabhupada, after his bath, before lunch, he put on fresh cloth, he would sit down at the, you know, behind his desk, and put on tilak, and then he would chant Gayatri Mantra. His noon Gayatri, he'd do 3 times a day. So on those days, he would grab the other thread and put it around. So you chant on both, so you transfer, you know. And that's the process. So I'm sitting on the veranda outside Prabhupada's room, looking in through the screen door, because I'm already thinking, the old thread is mine, you know. Because then I thought, again, I'll have a thread Prabhupada chanted on. I was a servant. I could have said something to him, you know, it would have been so Prabhupada, this happened, what do you think, should I do? But I was always very devious and secretive. So I didn't say anything, but I had a plan that I'll just take Prabhupada's old Brahmin thread. And so he finished chanting Gayatri, then Prabhupada would get up, walk across the veranda, and I'm sitting there on the floor, marble floor, chanting japa. And Prabhupada would walk into the kitchen where he would take prasadam. So I offered obeisances as he walked by, watched him go into the other room, the kitchen where he's eating, shut the door behind him. As soon as he shut the door, I ran into his room and I picked up the thread. And I run back out onto the veranda and I'm like ready to put it around me. And Prabhupada cut all the threads. It was six threads, or cut them or broke them, but it was all apart. So that was my first thing I thought. Because 2.5 years I was with Prabhupada, he never did that. Never did that again. It was the only time he ever did it. I would give them away regularly. It's Mahaprasadam, Prabhupada's Brahmin thread. You know, you probably have one. So many have Prabhupada's Brahmin thread, Mahaprasadam. But this time he cut it because I was going to take it. But I took it and I sat down. So I'm sitting there and I'm tying knots in all the threads. Because I thought, still Prabhupada's Brahmin thread. And then I put it on and I chanted, my Gayatri, I was very happy. You know, I have Prabhupada's Brahmin thread. So about 15 minutes go by. And then Prabhupada walks by. And I offer obeisances. Whenever Prabhupada went by, he offered obeisances. So I offer obeisances. And I'm down and my head's on the ground and I see Prabhupada's feet, you know, right in front of me. His lotus feet are, he stopped in front of me. So I'm, and I sit up and he's just like over me, you know? And he said, so that Brahmin thread. I'm going, yes. He said, bury it under the tulsi plant. Never said anything like that, you know, never ever happened. And I just said, yes, Prabhupada. Then he went into his room. So all the time he knew what I was doing. So then we go ahead to 2005, right? That's 7 years ago. And I'm in Mayapur. I hadn't been in Mayapur since I was with Prabhupada in 1975. Okay, 30 years. I was with Prabhupada when he went there. That's what I was talking about now. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So now it's 2005 and I'm in Mayapur and I'm sitting in a tent watching devotees talk about Srila Prabhupada. And across from me, like 10 feet away, and no one's in the seats, we're in the front rows, is a godbrother of mine. And it's evening time. And I look over and he's going, you know, like this, you know. It's, in India, you don't go like this, you go like this, you know. That's Kamir. So I went over, I sit down, and he says, you know, do you know who I am? And, yeah, I've met a lot of devotees over the years. So I recognized his face a bit, and I hadn't been there for 30 years. And he said, do you know who I am? And I'm like, I said, you were in Mayapur, right? And he said, yeah. He said, my name is Padmalochan. He's a godbrother. And he said, you know, we were both here in 1975, 30 years before. And I go, okay. And he said, do you remember? And I'm like, well, I said, yeah, I remember, you know, being here. And he said, well, do you remember I got Brahmin initiation then? And I'm there, you know. And he said, you were Prabhupada's servant, right? And I'm going, yes, you know. And he said, and I got Brahmin initiation. Do you remember me coming to the room? And I'm going, not really, you know. Oh, he said, well, that day, he said, you know, there was a fire sacrifice and so many devotees got Brahmin initiation. And then after the ceremony, of course, you would go to Prabhupada's room. And that's when you would get your Brahmin thread. And I'm going, yes. And he said, well, you were outside Prabhupada's door. I'm going, yes, that's where I always sat, you know. And he said, and you had the Brahmin threads. And I'm going, okay. And he said, well, he said, I came. He said, and you just handed me the thread. And Brahman thread, if you buy them, they're all wrapped up and curled in a certain way. You have to be very careful how you open them, or you can tangle them up. You know, there's these six threads. It's probably happened to more than a few of us a few times. You try to pull apart and you make a big mess and everything gets tangled and knotted. So instead of me opening them up and giving them to these devotees, these new Brahmins, I would just hand them the thread. So he said, you handed me the thread. And I'm going, okay. He said, so I went into Prabhupada's room. And he said, I had the thread. And Prabhupada said, come here. He said, open it up. And he said, I tried to open it. He said, but I messed it up. You know, it couldn't open it. And I started pulling, and Prabhupada yelled at me, and he said, bring it to Shrutakirti. He knows what to do. Okay, you following now? This is 1975, 3 years later, after I'm tying knots in a Brahmin thread. So Prabhupada said, bring it to Shrutakirti. He knows what to do. He said, so I turned around, start walking out the door, and another devotee's coming in, Prabhupada's secretary. He said, so I stopped, and I showed him, and Prabhupada again yelled. He said, no, bring it to Shrutakirti. He knows what to do. So he walked outside the door. He gave me the thread, and I found the little ends. There's these ends that come out, you know. So I grabbed the two ends, and I went like that, and gave it to him. He went back in, and Prabhupada put it around his neck and chanted Gayatri Mantra in his ear and gave him his Brahmin thread. But he's telling me this story in 2005, 30 years later. But in 1975, Prabhupada sent him out just as a joke to let him know, me and Brahmin threads, what I was doing with Brahmin threads, how I knew how to take his broken Brahmin thread, put it back together, put it around. Prabhupada knew everything. So it was his sense of humor. Prabhupada had a good sense of humor. But it took another 30 years before Prabhupada manifest that through this devotee who happened to need his Brahmin thread fixed. You understand? No? But he would do things like that. Prabhupada had such... You know, I was massaging him, his feet at night, and he would sit in bed and I would massage his legs and his feet. So, you know, he was lying down and he pointed. He said, do the fingers. So, of course, he had his fingers out, so I grabbed his fingers and he's going, no, the fingers. And he starts wiggling his toes. Because they're fingers too, right? They're fingers. So he said, no, the fingers. And he's wiggling his toes. So then I went down and I start, and he said, yes, the fingers. So I'm massaging. So 2 years later, same situation. And Prabhupada said, massage through the fingers. And as soon as he said it, I grabbed his hand. Because I can't even remember what happened, you know, 2 days ago, 2 years ago. And I grab his hand and I start pulling. And he said, no, the fingers. And he starts laughing at me. Because Prabhupada remembered it like it was yesterday. But me, I couldn't. So he could, you know, something, he could just carry it along. So for him, it was just a funny, funny little instance. Yes? I heard him say a lot about our generation of his kind. For future things, no. I remember saying about us that if it wasn't for the chanting of Hare Krishna, we couldn't accomplish anything, he said. He said, so much intoxication, illicit sex. He said, you Americans, you Westerners, he said, you couldn't do anything, he said, except for the chanting of Hare Krishna. So that applies to your generation as well. Every generation, I think we can give it that standard. But I can't at this time recall anything for the, you know, predictions he made for the future. Of course, he said, you know, I mean, he said the whole whole country, whole United States. He said, such a wonderful place. He said, Krishna's given so much, you know, opulences. So that means blessings. He said, so many blessings are there. And he said, if the Americans take seriously, he said, the whole country could be Krishna conscious. He said, because it has the mercy, Krishna's mercy, he said, you know, that's what, he said, I'd like very much, you know, America. He liked Americans very much. He said, they have so much determination, so much abilities. He would say, you can do anything, you know, Americans. Prabhupada really liked, you know, and he said, Prabhupada, Krishna's given me so many American boys and girls to spread the movement around the world. So his blessings were certainly on future generations here. Any of the ladies? Yes. Yeah, Prabhupada discusses so many places. He talks about Vani and Vapu. Vapu, the form. Vani, the instructions. Prabhupada would always say the instructions are more important. He said, and of course, if you follow the instructions, he said, he's personally present. The spiritual master is present in the instructions. He pointed to a picture of his spiritual master. He said, he's always with me. He said, I'm never alone. He would always have a picture, just a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on his desk. And he said, I'm never alone. He's always with me because I'm doing what he wanted. I'm following his instructions. So it's all, you know, the most important thing that for me that I see in traveling is to understand that, that everything is personal. It's not a business, it's not buildings. It's not administrations. It's personal relationships are there between guru and disciple. Huh? And Prabhupada is there for all of us. He's guru, shiksha guru for everyone. That comes into these temples, that reads these books, that hears from his disciples and grand disciples. It's a personal association. And when he was here, there were many that didn't really get personal association, but they felt Prabhupada very personally. So the importance is to follow that process in Krishna consciousness, and then you have Prabhupada's personal association. He's there. It's spiritual. It's not material. It's spiritual. Just like Krishna is there. So by following, because we're following ultimately Krishna's, Lord Chaitanya's instructions, Krishna's instructions through that media, it's called via media of the spiritual master. So we're connected. So, and that's what we want to develop is that understanding of person, you know, of being with a person. And, that's the purpose, you know, more and more I realize how when Prabhupada was here is what he did was, He developed us so we would love him. Huh? This was his disciples mostly. That's from the very beginning. They just had so much love for Prabhupada, they wanted to serve him. So he's teaching us how to love Krishna in a very simple manner. He's present right there before you. So he's teaching us because, like even now, he's physically present. And through his disciples, you can see, one can feel Srila Prabhupada's presence. So that's personal. But the whole thing that the pure devotee does is teach us how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna. But we have to follow the instructions. And one more question, I think it's okay.
Were there instances where what they were explaining in books
Well, again, if we understand everything is personal, when Prabhupada, when he dealt with individuals, he would help them, encourage them personally. So what he might say to one person to encourage them could be a little different than what he says to someone else. Just like Prabhupada dealt with me very differently than he did with some of his older disciples, more mature disciples, who he would chastise and just say, just do like this, and why didn't you do this? And with me, he was very gentle. So he could say something to one person and, definitely on a personal level, not say it to someone else, because we all need to be encouraged according to our abilities, according to our level of Krishna consciousness. What did I was saying the other day when Prabhupada says you serve, the capacity, we serve according to our capacity. So the spiritual master understands your capacity, so he gives you direction in that way. But it could be very different than what he says to someone else. He could just tell you, go out, get a job, get married, and tell someone else, stay here in the temple, and, that's Krishna consciousness. So it's all Krishna consciousness, but it's personal. It's not cookie cutter. That's what I was saying. In America, everything's like cookie cutter. They want the same. They want everybody to be the same. Everybody's not the same. Qualitatively, we're the same, huh? But there's all these, we're all independent. We're all individuals. So Prabhupada dealt with us that way. Okay. Yes.